1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Hopefully you guys are off to a wonderful start as we are halfway through our work week. I tell you what, my dog has been my companion. My dog Tay has been my companion, kind of coming into the studio usually every day. And she just like chills out. Like I can do my job. I can hang out here and do everything I need to do. And she usually just takes it easy right on the chair. She'll just lay down. But this morning, she did not want to leave. And I was like, gosh, dang it. I was so jealous, very jealous of my dog right now. Like very seldomly am I jealous of an animal. But I'll tell you what, when I first woke up, I was like, oh my gosh, I could just lay here forever. I just did not feel like I got enough sleep. And the dog's just looking at me like, yeah, well, have fun at work, but I ain't going with you. She just laid there. And I was like, fine. I was like, all right, you're going to stay back today. So she's not in the studio with me. So I don't have my coworker here. So it's kind of lonely in the studio. But yeah, she was just lazing about. She's like, I don't want to go. And it's like, okay, yeah, must be nice. 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse. So over the weekend, the University of Michigan absolutely dominated the Central Michigan Chippewas. I don't think that was really a big surprise there. Probably the biggest surprise, though, which you may not know about, is the 3 points that the Chippewas got. Central Michigan were able to get a field goal in that game. There's an interesting twist to this story, though. Their kicker, Cade Graham, has barely ever played football in his entire life. If you open up the 1077 RKR app, we talk about how this kid, Cade Graham, spent the first 3 years of his time at Central Michigan not playing any football ever. He, keep in mind, he doesn't even have a high school football background at all. He went to Central Michigan, but he was bored during COVID. And so he would go out on the field and just start kicking field goals for fun. And he started sinking these from really far away. And he started noticing, like, I'm getting pretty good at this. So last year, before his junior year, he tried out. He was actually able to make it as a backup for Central. Well, now this is his senior year at college, and he is now the starting kicker for the Chippewas. And it's just really cool because out of everybody on the entire team, the only person that was able to score against the Wolverines was a kid who has barely ever played football in his life. Now he's going to be a health, and he's got his like health and physical education major. That's what he's going for. He wants to work at the university's athletics department. There's a lot more about this kid up here on the 1077 RKR app you can read about. I just find it hilarious, man. Like all the way down the line, man, when he's older, no matter where he's at, he's going to be like, you know what? Doesn't matter that we got stomped. I was the only person to score against the Wolverines in that one game, and I barely ever played football in my life. That's pretty badass. Set the needle and crank the knob. It's Mark Frankhouse, and I've got another crucial addition to your record collection. It's Vinyl and 45 on the Rocker. Unleashed in the East is the first live album by Judas Priest, released in September of 1979. And it was recorded live over 2 nights in Tokyo during their Hellbent for Leather tour, and perfectly displays the band on their rise to the top with phenomenal renditions of Diamonds and Rust, The Ripper, and Victim of Changes. This live album is one for the books and should be in your collection. Pick up a copy this weekend. This has been Vinyl and 45 on 1077 RKR. Thank you. 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse. As we're getting closer to Halloween, I want to take a look at some of the most haunted places in the entire state. If you open up the 1077 RKR app, you can scroll through a list of places that I have set up. And I'm telling you what, man, a couple of these places are really interesting. I've never been to the Eloy's Asylum in Westland. I know this is argued as one of the most haunted places in the state, but it's the Bruce Mansion in Lapeer that's really got me tripped out. First off, I found this image of it. It's got a hearse sitting right in front of it. That doesn't make me feel too comfortable. And then it almost, I thought there was like an actual ghost caught on this like Google cam, but I think it's a mannequin somebody put in the window. But this mansion looks like it's haunted. It was built in the late 1800s and is associated, unfortunately, with the tragic deaths of the Bruce family, who some believe still reside there. Visitors apparently report experiencing ghostly figures and hearing disembodied voices. I don't know if you've ever been here, if you've seen this thing, but we've got a list of these on the 1077 RKR app. Or let me know some of the most haunted places that you've ever been to and if you've ever experienced anything super creepy like this before. 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Freca. Summer is winding down. People still out there on the lake, though, but some people have been worrying about Lake Allegan and what's happening with the dam's impending sale. Consumers Energy had announced that they were going to be selling. Consumers Energy announced plans to retire the dams in Allegan and 12 other locations along the El Salvo, Kalamazoo, Muskegon, Grand, and Manistee rivers in Michigan. And then residents of the affected lakeside communities kind of got a little, you know, concerned about what the future of their recreational lakes and lifestyles built around them would look like. And on September 9th, there was a report for Consumers Energy is going to sell 13 hydroelectric dams, including the one at Lake Allegan, to Confluence Hydro. They're a Maryland-based company. They're going to operate and maintain the dams for the next 30 years once the sale is finalized. But if you want to take a look at more at what this, what you can expect from this, it's up here on the 1077 RKR app. People still a little concerned what is going to happen here. But listen, as long as you can still get out there on your boat and have some beers and enjoy the weather, then it shouldn't be too much of a problem. But we'll see what happens.
Out of the deepest corners and the darkest ends of this world, from the Michigan Dockman to Bigfoot, the Melonheads of Allegan County, and people from Ohio, this is Weird Ass Wednesday.
I feel bad for restaurants that are on the water, because not only do you have to worry about people just breaking in, walking up to your place, but you got to worry about people breaking in, swimming up to your place. And that's what happened in Florida. Investigators are searching for a man who robbed a popular Disney Springs restaurant after it was closed. Sources familiar with the investigation say they believe that the man swam up to the Paddlefish restaurant shortly after midnight on Monday and stole thousands of dollars and then swam away. So this is coming from Orange County deputies. Indicted, the man found a place to store his wetsuit and scuba gear before walking into the manager's office where the cash from the night was being counted and deposited into the safe. And a report shows the man forced two employees to go to the corner of the room, told them to close their eyes. The report is heavily redacted, but sources familiar with this investigation said apparently he tied the employees up. Now, this man stole between $10,000 and $20,000. And the employee said he left within 2 minutes. They called 911 after freeing themselves. Neither of the employees were hurt. The man didn't have any weapons, apparently. I mean, how could you, other than like maybe a harpoon? But after leaving the replica steamboat, investigators believe the man had put his scuba gear back on, jumped back into the pond. And now the search for the man has immediately begun after the robbery was reported. Still have not found this guy. I don't know. I would be doing some background search on this dude, because this guy sounds like he put a lot of thought into this. And now these poor people are out $20,000, which is just absolutely ridiculous. I guess he was like 5'10" tall. But if you see someone spending frivolous amounts of money dripping wet, that might be the guy. Weird Ass Wednesday, sponsored by BC Pizza Kalamazoo. They don't have to worry about someone swimming up and robbing them. Make sure to check out their pizza buffet. It's happening every day, 11 to 2. They're located off West Main. Your sponsor for Weird Ass Wednesday. 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frakehouse. DK Fencing Company is our new workplace of the week winner. And we are going to be hooking it up today for our good buddy, Nick Piper, who scored his workplace a pizza party. We're going to be delivering that out today. If you want to win a pizza party for your company, you just got to sign up on that workplace button on the 1077 RKR app. And then I'm going to announce a new winner in about 2 days from now. So pretty sweet. Just make sure you're hanging out after 9. I'll have BC Pizza Kalamazoo in here. We'll announce our new workplace of the week winner right before we crack that first beer of the weekend with Presidential Brewing Company on 1077 RKR. 1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frakehouse. I believe the largest pumpkin pie ever was recently baked within the last couple of years in Ohio. I believe there was a group of people in Ohio baked it, but the world's largest cherry pie tin resides in Michigan. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. The 1077 RKR app, we have some photos up here. Actually, my coworker has made it like her goal to visit like overly large sculptures, like the giant hot dog. I think that's like Wienerville or something in Mackinac City. And then, of course, the world's largest cherry pie tin. And this was baked. There was actually a world record that was set back in 1987 in Traverse City. The largest cherry pie ever, 28,350 pounds. It was 17 feet by 6 inches. And this pie tin is what they cooked it in. This thing is freaking massive, if you can even imagine this. How much Traverse City cherries they had to use. The 1077 RKR app takes a look at this and a whole bunch of other fun stuff from around the state. But this is probably one of the coolest records that we've ever held in Michigan.